Thank you for this morning, and just
good morning, Manor.
Remind us to speak with you.
How are you doing today?
And pray to you.
Well, when I got asked back, for those of you who don't know, I'm Evan Beasley. I'm a college student over at Prairie, and I've been here once before. So if I look familiar, that's why. You don't have to feel guilty for not remembering my name.
Clean your life.
But when Dan invited me back to ask, he said you can either preach on the flood, Genesis 6, or you can do Genesis 3 and the sin.
Good morning, Manor.
And quite frankly, it's easier to explain.
How are you doing today?
Humanity messing things up,
well,
because it's our new normal.
I got asked back.
We get
for those
to live
of you who
don't
things.
Know, I'm Evan Beasley.
We get to
I'm a
live
college
with
student over
not
at Prairie, and I've been here
we
once
get
before.
To live
so if I look
that
familiar, that's why. You don't have to feel guilty for not remembering my name.
And as it was pointed out to us earlier, to the children,
but
Christ is
when
going
Dan
to remove
invited
that
me back to ask, he said you can either
us.
Preach on the flood, Genesis
and I want us to remember that.
Genesis 3 and Genesis 3.
We're going to see a lot of what we lost.
And humanity
frankly,
messing things up
winter,
because it's our new normal.
Holding on.
We get to live with
stick with me because there's
we get
hope
to live
and it's coming
with things
up.
Not being
the
as they should
we
be.
We get
to
live
the start.
With that murk.
So this really
in our
came
lives.
Home for me
and as it was pointed out
I'm
to us earlier to the children, Christ is going to remove
everything right.
You study hard. You get your paper in early
and I want us to remember that.
Still
as
barely
I go
pass.
Through Genesis 3,
we're going to
pass.
See a lot of what
and
we
and that's
lost.
Not the way
and quite
life
frankly,
was meant to be.
It's winter, some of us are barely holding on,
to strive
but stick with me because there's hope and it's coming up. But first, we need to get through the start. So this really came hammer home for me because
you know what,
I'm in my week of finals, and sometimes you do everything right, you study hard, you get your paper in early,
when we do everything right,
and it still doesn't turn out.
This shouldn't be normal,
but it is
normal.
We're going to see a lot of what we
lost.
How about when that person takes advantage of your good intentions?
Realize that I shouldn't
that's not normal.
But
stick
with me just
because
there's hope,
and
it's
when you get cut from the group simply because you stood out in the wrong way.
That
so
should be
with
normal.
Problems.
That's
in our
what,
lives
unfortunately,
every single day.
Because
you know what?
Sometimes
school
I'm in my
up
week of
is all about.
Go, and sometimes
is
you
it normal?
Right.
So
it
why is that
normal?
Or
never
God's
when we do everything right,
and that reason
still doesn't turn out.
Is Genesis? This shouldn't be normal.
So
it is normal.
I'm going to start out by reading the passage.
How about when
NIV
that person takes advantage of your good intentions?
Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which
the
Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?"
That's what unfortunately,
and the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruits of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit
so
of the tree which is in the
normal?
Middle of the garden,
when it was never
God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest
so
you die.
For
God, and the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, and you will know good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it the fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And both their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves a covering. Then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
And
the man and the woman hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the
trees
of the garden.
Then
the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?"
She took from it the fruit.
And Adam said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself."
And
he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not eat?" And the man said, "It was the woman thou gave me. She gave it to me, and I ate." And then God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me. Where are you? And I ate." And the Lord said to
the
serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed you are more than any cattle and any beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat in all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed.
And
he shall bruise you
woman,
on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel."
And the woman said,
to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth.
And the Lord said,
in pain you shall bring forth children,
you
yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you."
Cattle.
And then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it, both thorns and thistles, it will grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because you from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. And the Lord God made garments for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. Then God said, Behold, man has become like us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord sent them out of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So God drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim with a flaming sword that turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So the first part that we really need to focus in on is Genesis 3. It's actually what the Bible headed say. It's called the fall. This is where man chose to be something other than what God created them to be. And this is something that we can look around and see. Most of us, when we look at the world, say, this shouldn't be the way it is. We got COVID to remind Canada just how fragile everything is. Elsewhere in the world, we have war and genocide, and people are just generally not nice to each other. And all of us are willing to say the world needs to be better, but some of us have a little bit more trouble admitting that we are not as we should be. This is a problem, because sin doesn't necessarily mean evil. The tree wasn't called the tree of evil. It was the knowledge of good and evil. Because sin is an archery term. It means missing the bullseye. God created us perfect and to be perfect. And when we chose the knowledge of good and evil, we actually chose the ability to be something less than what God created us to be. Most of us will have a hard time calling ourselves evil. All of us are willing to accept we're not perfect, if we're honest. Because let's face it, if I say I would like to be better at something, what I'm saying is I'm not perfect at it. Most of us would like to be nicer. Some of us would like to have more patience. Some of us would just like to be better at math. And for some of you kids, you just want to be taller. This is all an acknowledgement that we are less than what we should be. We are not perfect. And that is what God created us for. And that is, this thing keeps rolling up. And that is what he always intended us to be. But Genesis 3 happened, the fall. And I want to call that the movement one of this chapter. Because movement one is the breaking of relationship between God and man because of a lie. And then we move into movement two, which is the consequences of that, that are immediate and long-lasting. And this is where I'm going to spend some time, because I think we skip over this too much. Because we live in a sinful world. That is normal. But that's not what was supposed to be normal. And by looking at the change that Adam and Eve experienced, we can begin to see what God's intention was. We can get a better idea of where we were meant to be. And because that's where we were meant to be, this is where Christ is restoring us to. So let's jump into verse 7. Immediately upon eating the apple, they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make loin coverings. This is the first change where Adam and Eve, upon breaking relationship with God, look at each other and realize they are naked. And there's something to be ashamed of in that. This is a change. Adam and Eve, until this point, when they woke up, do you know what they saw in their reflection? The perfect image of God. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And I made them very good. When man woke up and looked at himself in the reflection, when Eve woke up and looked at herself in the mirror, they saw the perfect reflection of God. Not only did they see that when they looked at themselves, when they saw each other, they saw God's perfection. So much so, they never realized they weren't clothed. They never realized shame. And this is a huge change. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine waking up in the morning, looking at the mirror and seeing God's perfection reflected back at you. You see it so clearly, you forget to get dressed, because all you see is God's perfection. And when you go outside, what you see, and when people look at you, is the image of God on earth. This is how we were supposed to interact. And those people who are looking at you don't even notice you didn't get dressed either, because they see the perfect reflection of what God intended. This is a huge change. And I have to wonder, what would change if we got back there? Would we have body image issues if when we saw God's perfection, regardless of what our form was? Would we have racism and violence towards each other? Because when I look at you, I see God's perfection, not your skin tone, your haircut, or who you voted for. And I wonder what would happen to sexual immorality if when we looked at someone, we saw God's perfection. All these things that are normal to us today were never intended to be normal, because when we looked at each other, we saw God's perfection, and it was lost when we chose to try to be like God and know good and evil. But that's just one of the first movements. The second thing, Genesis 3:16, and this is God addressing Eve. Now, an important thing has happened here, and some Bibles make this easier to see than others, but we've switched to Hebrew poetry. And I do believe that's intentional, because poetry has greater depth to it. It's not just on the surface, it's what else is going on. So read this knowing that you're reading poetry. And God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Genesis 3:16. This represents a fundamental change in the way we interact with each other. And we can lead this literally. All you mothers know childbirth is not fun. But I gotta wonder, and this is my thoughts, so don't hang a theology on this. What was more painful for Eve? Giving birth to Cain and Abel, or losing Abel by Cain's hand? You mothers, I want you to look at your children and wonder, what would be more painful, giving birth to them or losing one because he was murdered by the other? In pain, you will bring forth children. And that's because these children can choose to be something other than the perfection in which God chose for them. And as parents, we are parents that are not perfect like God intended for us to be because of the fall. And, you know, I wasn't there when my brother was born, but I was there when we buried him. And I gotta say, I really doubt that the lingering pain my mom still feels, I gotta doubt childbirth wasn't as bad as that. But ironically, at that same time, my mom was actually praying for another mom because her son had just been picked up for second-degree murder. What's more painful, childbirth or having to live knowing that our children are something other than what God intended? And this is a consequence of sin. I don't know if this is what God's referring to, but I do know this is a consequence of sin that was brought in at this time. There's another fundamental change here. Eve, you will desire Adam. Adam is going to rule over you. There is a dynamic of desire that exists in our world that was never meant to be there. We were meant to desire God alone. But that's not the way it is anymore. We desire things, we desire people, we desire experiences, and because we desire things, we're vulnerable to them. And desire and power is something you could spend years just preaching on that, so I'm going to keep this very on the surface, but think about it deeper later on. I am allergic to eggs. I don't like scrambled eggs, so if you offer me a big plate of scrambled eggs, I'm not going to have it. I have no desire for it, so I have no weakness to that. However, I loved egg salad sandwiches, and the more garlic, the better. More than once, I have caught myself with an egg salad sandwich on my plate, knowing I'm poisoning myself. It's because I have a strong desire for that sandwich, to the point I'm willing to hurt myself to experience it. And this is something we see in our world. We got addictions, which are the most obvious. How about relationships? How many high schoolers do you watch turn themselves inside out for that significant other, knowing it's bad for them? But because they want to experience this, they have that desire, they're willing to be weak and vulnerable and sometimes be crushed.
That's not what God intended. Our desires were always supposed to be in Him first. And if our desires are in Christ, we're satisfied. We're not vulnerable to all these things that is normal for us to be tripped up in and by. The next thing we see is rulership. Because when we're vulnerable, others can take advantage of that and dominate us and rule us. And we don't have to look very far to see rulers abusing their power. And we don't have to look very far back in our own histories to see examples of that. And quite frankly, the best example I can come is this girl I knew in high school. She was beautiful. She knew it, and so did the boys. And I watched her put all my friends through hell because they desired her, and she used that. And quite frankly, I remember asking her, why do you have them tying your shoes? You can do this. You've been able to do this since grade school. Why are you having these boys tie your shoes for you? And do you know what she said to me? Because when they're tying my shoes, they're bowing to me as they should. This was not meant to be normal. But most people aren't as honest about it as my friend. We like to be like God. We're trying to be like God. That was the temptation. And rulership is part of that. That's why so many of us get tripped up in our business relationships, in those relationships where we are in leadership. Because it's so easy to go back to that temptation. You can be like God. You can rule. And when man rules, there's a chance that man will rule unjustly. And this all comes in Genesis 3. All right, I got one more example before we get to the good news. Because the good news is that God never intended to leave us in this world. God has a plan to restore us back to perfection. And because Jesus Christ has come today, we can join that process now. This is where we're going. But before we get there, I got one more set of bad news. One more set of normality. And that we see in the curse to Adam. Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. In toil you will eat it all the day of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We were never meant to have to toil and exhaust ourselves just to sustain ourselves. That was not God's intention. And I know I have a lot of farmers in here, and you might love your work, but it's still hard. And quite frankly, there's more to this curse. Thorns and thistles. You can do everything right. Cultivate the ground like you were called, and next thing the thorns and thistles come. And I know we have sprays for that today, so why don't I say, what about that early snowfall? Or that hailstorm? You can do everything right. I can study, get my stuff in early, work my butt off, and barely pass. And let's be honest with ourselves. Success feels good, failure does not. Doesn't matter how much you tell yourself you don't care, it still hurts. We still strive so we don't have to feel that hurt. Or we give up and try to find ways of escaping. And that's why video games can be so dangerous for a lot of young men. Because if I can't see to succeed in life, in a video game, I can be like God because I have complete control over what happens in this game. There's a vulnerability there because we want to have this feeling of success. We want work to be enjoyable like it was intended to be. We don't want to fail for no good reason. But all this comes in as a consequence of sin. We chose the ability to be less than perfect. And when we're less than perfect, bad things happen. But that was not what God intended. And there's another aspect here, because once again, this curse comes with two parts. The second part is, to dust you will return. Some of you may be in the position, like my dad, where you worked hard, you got your land, you refined your land. It's actually the way you want it now. You're enjoying it. It's been good. But now you're in the thing, well, I can't enjoy it forever. And in my dad's case, his oldest son has died, and his youngest son's in ministry. Who knows where I'm going to be? So he's not even like he has a legacy to pass on. And I know he's been wondering occasionally, what was the point? For dust you are, until dust you will return. Genesis 3. And that's not the way we were meant to experience life. We were created to be eternal. God never intended for it to be temporary.
But because we chose to try to be like God and to know the difference between good and evil, we suffer. All this came in. And just to summarize, sin brought a fundamental change to how we saw each other, how we interact with everything, and how we exist on this earth. And that's the bad news of Genesis 3. But I don't want you to be overwhelmed with that. And this is where we get to the good news. Because even in the midst of these curses, God's intention shines through. And it